listening to Fox Sports Radio. This is Straight Outta Vegas. With the voice of Vegas, your host, RJ Bell. The pregame show America has always wanted. I doubt the future. I doubt the future. From the Vegas Strip, here's RJ Bell.
Hey guys, we are live from Radio Row. Obviously a somber day. Exciting to be in Miami, but you can feel the somberness. Obviously, with the tragedy with Kobe. And what we're going to do is we're going to try to speak from the heart, right? One of the beauties, I think, of radio is you get to know the people you listen to. There's an intimacy about it. And when you decide to listen Straight Out of Vegas, you're saying that the Vegas guys, Jonas, there's something about their personality. We might like it. We might hate it. There's something about it that interests me. So what our goal is, yeah, we're going to look at the tragedy from an analytical, not like numbers, but rather a logical perspective. Like, what does it mean about the existential questions of life, how it can literally end at any time without notice? Yeah, but also personally, you know, we're fans too. What did it mean to us personally? What has it meant? In Miami with me, man. Hair, not a hair out of place. Beard trimmed. Now, Jonas Knox. Now, Jonas, do you trim your beard yourself or do you have staff?
No, I do it. Come on.
You do?
Dollar Tree razors, and I just let it rip.
Now, as you, at some point, you got dark hair. You're going to have gray. Are you doing any kind of coloring yet?
No, I'm good with it. Bring on the gray.
So when the gray starts coming into the beard, what are you going to do?
Oh, it already is.
And you're fine with it?
Let it fly.
You don't get little scissors and try to clip it out?
No,
I can't lie. My goatee, I do a little bit of extra trimming.
Oh, I mean, little tweezers. You might use some tweezer action. There's nothing wrong with that. Speaking
of gray hair, Steve Fezzik in Vegas, he's got a pompadour. I mean, like, you've never seen a guy. I mean, one time.
He's got great hair.
When we are ready to be, you know, a decade plus from now, when we're ready to just say, all right, we've done it, we're going to auction off the chance to tug on Fezzik's hat. For charity.
Of course.
For charity. And Brad Powers in studio. Now, the boys are going to be in Miami on Radio Row starting Wednesday. Though, amazingly, they both, Jonas, I mean, they both have had either injuries or nutritional catastrophes around this trip. So, with Brad, he came in one day and I looked at him. I go, he looks different. I said, Brad, are you eating differently or something? He goes, no. And then a little later, he did something weird. And I go, Brad, are you sure? He goes, yeah, you're right. He goes, I've been fasting. So he figures to just come to Miami, he has to fast.
Yeah.
Is that true, Brad Powers?
That is true, RJ.
Now, Fezzik, he went leaning the next day to get a notepad or something, and he goes, I go, what's wrong, Steve? Because I broke a rib. And I go, what happened? Went to the gym. I go, well, you go to the gym a lot. He goes, first time in 6 months. So literally,
how,
like,
do you break a rib in the gym,
Fez?
It's true. Cracked it first bench press since I won the bet against Brad Powers back. What was that, Brad?
Over a year ago.
Jeez.
Think about some old dude with shoe dye hair, like, literally doing the first bench in a year and just hearing a rib crack. I mean,
Fez, you're not supposed to drop it down fast and use your chest to let it bounce back up. Oh, I mean, like it's all about, you know, bringing it down slowly. That's where you're really building it. It builds your core.
I know this, Jonas, but I might have some brain damage from all the hair dye that my wife put in my head.
It's the wife force.
There you go. Way to be accountable.
Blame it on the wife. All things equal, blame it on.
It's a good move.
She's not listening. Now, here's the thing we got to know. In Vegas, if Fezzik walks into any sports book, honest to God, he can't walk 10 steps. I mean, he's just a known guy. That hair, too, you know, it's almost like a caricature, you know, drawn. And you see that profile and you're like, Fezzik. Brad, that's true, isn't it?
Very true.
I mean, you said just recently that you were down at a sports book with him, and it was like every 2 minutes someone was walking up, like almost like, I'm sorry to bother you, Mr. Fezzik, kind of thing.
That's exactly how it went, RJ. Yeah, we were only in there, Fez and myself, maybe 20 minutes, and three or four people came up to us. Fez was soaking it all in.
And here's the thing. If he leaves within a 10-mile radius of the Bellagio, he's lost. He goes from being like the kind, like the Godfather kissing his hand to like he's trying to find the cab stand.
So Fremont wouldn't be the place for him.
No, because that's within 10 miles.
Oh, okay.
Oh, he
okay.
knows. Oh, no, he knows all the back alleys in Fremont because he knows how to park his Mercedes and get a quick bet in, but, you know, off hours. Oh, he's got all those tricks. Fez, we should do a PDF of all the ways to get in and out of the sports books, the tricks, and sell it for like maybe $495.
I like it. Walking up the wrong way on escalators, whatever it takes.
See,
baby.
He knows it all, man. I mean, he knows it all. And if there's like a certain blackjack table that has a dealer on a certain shift that deals deep into the deck, he'll like plan his trip so he can stop there and play for 10 minutes.
I love it. So what is Miami going to have in store for him?
He's going to get lost. Cabbies are going to he won't know enough to get Uber or Lyft, so he'll have a cabbie take him to a bad part of town.
Well, if it was anything like our Uber ride, I mean, you guys should have seen our Uber ride.
I mean, it's like the Clampett's coming to town. These guys. So it's going to be, let's just say this, tune in this week, straight out of Vegas, coming straight from Miami. All right, so here's what I want to do. I want to go around the horn, and I want everyone to just say, as a fan, as a human being, you don't even have to be a fan, what was the emotions? And let's start with Jonas.
As somebody who's lost family members, close immediate family members multiple times, instantly that same feeling came back. It's like people talk about how if you suffer an injury, when you see an athlete suffer the same injury, you know exactly what they're feeling because it brings back that memory and that feeling in that moment. And when I saw it happen, my immediate reaction was, oh, wow. There are so many family members, not just Kobe Bryant's family, but the other family and the victims on the plane. They're now going to feel that same thing that I know all too well. And I hate it for him. It's terrible. It's tragic. It's so sad when you think about a guy who really has progressed after his NBA career into a great businessman and winning an Oscar, and then, you know, being a dad and grooming his daughter to play basketball, and their relationship, and the fact that they were both lost amongst 9 victims in a helicopter crash not far from where I live, which just was sort of surreal, and it still doesn't seem real.
So it was more not your loss of Kobe, but putting yourself in the shoes of his family.
Yeah, because of the fan stuff, the basketball stuff, you know, he had retired, and his playing career doesn't change. He wasn't in the middle of his playing career. We still have that career in totality and in full, but his life, the most important part of it, is now gone, and that's the part that shook me the most.
Yeah, that's a very thoughtful approach, right? Because I think humans are by nature self-involved, and some more than others, but thinking about your own pain and really, it's funny because if you do stop and not funny, but if you do stop and think about his wife, I mean, it's
terrible.
Yeah, I mean, just if one or the other had been lost, it's terrible. But the idea of both, I mean, and it's not... Not that if someone's sick, it's ever just okay if they die. But when, you know, I'm lucky enough that, you know, I've had only 2 grandparents that were very, like, second parents to me pass away. And it was tough. But every one of them, you knew a year before that it was coming, you know, to the end. And it, in a way, I think you grieve a little bit every day.
Yeah.
Right? But the idea of... super, you know, a child and a super healthy adult, and then 1 second it all changes. It's incomprehensible, I think.
And when you think about the fact that, I mean, these daughters are going to
not have a dad to walk them down the aisle on their weddings, at their marriages. Or in their weddings, you see Christmases are never going to be the same. Thanksgivings are never going to be the same. I mean, lives were not just the ones that perished, but multiple hundreds, if not thousands of lives were impacted and possibly ruined because of one moment in time that we can never get back.
That's Jonas Knox. I'm RJ Bell, straight out of Vegas, coming to you from Miami all week, Radio Row. Great stuff, Jonas. I'm kind of interested. Do you get really philosophical, like at 3:30 in the morning on the weekends? Like,
Well, it depends. It depends on how Knox Locks goes. If I've had a bad run, which I tend to do, I start to dive deeper into some other emotions because clearly the gambling ones aren't paying off. So
let's go to Vegas and Brad Power. Same thing. Speak from the heart.
Made me more aware about my own mortality, RJ. Kobe's only a few years older than me. And
well, you look much older than him.
that's fair enough. When you're in college, you're in your 20s and even early 30s. I mean, you feel that invincibility. And when stuff like this happens to people that you grew up with, because Kobe only being a couple years older than me, and to see them come and gone, not only their career, but now his life, to me, it's stuff I didn't even think about 10 years ago now crosses my mind on a regular basis, my own mortality.
So, Jonas, this is exactly the self-involved take I expected, right? he's like, how does this affect me?
he's in the middle of a fast. I've been there. You know, it can throw you off a little bit.
And Brad, just think of it like this. You're not the kind of guy that if you did one bench press, your rib cage would explode, right? So, I mean, you're not that old yet. Not yet. No, listen. We're only joking because it's so true, meaning that we all look at things through the lens of our lives, right? And sometimes, you know, in a way, Jonas, your seemingly altruistic, like worried about them, was really coming from your experience, right?
Yeah.
And that's all we got is our experiences.
Yeah.
And hopefully, if we're able to live our lives with that reality, but still be good to the world around us, that's the challenge. Mother Teresa was self-interested because she was satisfied by helping others. So yeah, others got helped, but for her, it was a good thing too. People don't do things that aren't good things. Even the guy that takes 10 years in prison because he doesn't want to rat on his buddy is doing it for himself.
Yeah.
His own self-image, his own code, whatever it is, right? Ayn Rand, last name R-A-N-D, who wrote Atlas Shrugged, a famous book libertarians like. She has a lesser-known book titled The Virtue of Selfishness. And it's like a philosophical treatise, but it talks about that concept. Is ultimately, no matter how altruistic, how generous an action is, it's because that person is satisfied by generosity, which means that's a good person. That doesn't in any way take away from Mother Teresa. It embraces the reality of it. I'm RJ Bell. All right, Steve Fezzik thought. Now, Fez was thinking, let me guess, there was some thought of going, you know, it's kind of like Gecko. You know, he was on short NASA 20 minutes after the Challenger exploded. Were you thinking, is there any way to bet this, or was it human?
You know, I was thinking there were ways to bet, and I don't want to get into that yesterday, but this morning.
Well, let's tease ahead. At 6:46 Eastern, we'll be discussing those things. Go ahead.
This morning, when I took my little boy to school, I noticed that a lot more parents were walking their children into the courtroom, the courtyard, instead of just dropping them off. And I noticed that the hugs lasted longer and the kisses were more prevalent. And it really hit home that how an event like this can really impact society in general.
You mean where people through the shared experience are thinking about things differently?
Exactly.
Now, would you say, Fez, that inherent in your story, unspoken, is that you are there every day doing that good fatherly thing, but the others, it took a tragedy like this to get him there?
I did not say that, and in fact,
hold on a second. You said I noticed there were more parents, which implies you're there every day to assess the ebbs and flows of the others.
Well, I'm there enough to be able to assess it. But I will say that I volunteered to take Johnny to school today instead of mom.
Okay. And what percentage of the time do you typically do that?
20%.
Oh, so you were one of the ones that was there that usually isn't there.
Yes.
Some other radio show right now where someone's saying, and even that one dude I finally saw with the big hair.
Yes.
Oh, Joe, and listen, it is my personality. When things are super emotional, you got to try to laugh a little bit, right? You're obviously not laughing at the tragedy. You're laughing that no matter what the human condition, there's a lot of things about it that are funny. And if they weren't, well, it'd be a lot harder, right? So, all right, here's what we'll do. Let's take a break. I got a lot. So when we come back, I'm going to make the case. I got two or three things here that I bet you haven't heard. And they really are more existential. I do think, and maybe let me say this first, and we'll take our break. I think the thing that people were dancing around, the Colorado stuff and his evolution after that, is actually the thing that makes Kobe's death the most tragic. And we'll talk about that in a minute.
That's coming up next. He's RJ Bell. I'm Jonas Knox. This is the pregame show you've always wanted, live from South Beach here on Fox Sports Radio.
Straight out of Vegas!
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Out of Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
I'm RJ Bell. We're Straight Out of Vegas coming to you live from Miami.
And I'm Jonas Knox, voice of You, the Fan. Coming up here in just a couple of moments, we will have more on the tragic passing of Kobe Bryant.
Thanks for joining us. This is the fastest-growing show on Fox Sports Radio. Ratings doubled in the last year, more than doubled. You can listen 5 days a week, foxsportsradio.com, 200 stations across the country. Also, iHeartRadio app, SiriusXM, and anytime with podcasts, just search for RJ Bell. Right now, here in Miami, it's 70 degrees. That's not the question. What is it on the strip, Brad Powers?
58 degrees, and the neon is humming, RJ.
Ooh, humming.
Hey, guys, Straight Out of Vegas is brought to you by ViewSonic. See the difference with ViewSonic's new 4K and curved monitors for home, office, work, and play. They've decked our South Beach set with these monitors, making the Fox Sports Radio set, and we're sitting at it right now, the best one in Miami. Check out these 4K monitors at ViewSonic.com. RJ, we've been discussing the passing of Kobe Bryant. Tragically, in a helicopter crash among nine dead in Calabasas, California on Sunday. What was your initial thought when you heard the news?
Well, you know, there's the cliche, life is short. And I'm not sure that's true. You know, I mean, obviously it's a matter of perspective, right? I've heard people say, actually, it's very, very long, right? Dylan has a line in a great song off of Blood on the Tracks. It's called Shelter from the Storm. He says, it was another lifetime. And I think as you get older, you do feel like there's these different lifetimes. You know, when you were in college, it was a different thing. But you know what I know is true? Might not be short for everybody or if you live a normal life, but it is uncertain. Right? It's uncertain. The day you're born is not too young to be the day you die. You never know. And you never know if today's the last day. And there's the old cliche, you know, live every day like it's your last day. And no one can do that, right? But what they can do for sure is understand it could be. And that nothing is guaranteed to you. It doesn't matter who you are. Doesn't matter how hard you work. Doesn't matter how much money you have. Ultimately, it's out of your control. And for gamblers, uncertainty, control, this is what we love. And that's something that a lot of people don't get. You hear gambler, you think erratic, you think risk-taking. No. What a good gambler, a guy that makes a living at it, does is he controls risk better than others. And he tries to gain certainty through his approach. If Jonas and I were betting a coin flip and it were a fair coin, and every time I won, I gave him a dollar, and if every time he won, he gave me a dollar and a penny, If we flip long enough, I would have every dollar. Every white T-shirt Jonas has would be mine. That's certainty. But he could win 10 flips in a row. It wouldn't bother me. Right? That's what. That's the kind of calm that a good professional gambler has. But you know what you need for that? You need sample size. You need enough reps for the truth to emerge. Because if Jonas and I had a deal that it was $1 million I would pay him if he won, but at $2 million he would pay me, you'd think that's a great deal. You know how nervous I would be if it was one flip? Because even though I have great odds, it's out of my control. There's not enough sample size. The whole trust the process is don't worry about who wins this game. Worry about what you're doing to try to win the game. And if you're doing that right, you're going to win a lot of games. There's no one that does anything with randomness to it that's elite. No one elite that does that kind of thing that doesn't understand that process. Poker, whatever. But you know something? Sometimes in life, the sample size is one. N equals one. And in this case, Kobe didn't have any chance to say, you know, if we had flown this thing 10,000 times, it only would have crashed once. It was that one time. And he's gone. And that lack of control for a gambler, for a guy like me that's trying to take this world that has so much randomness and it has so many factors that are indifferent to you. You don't mean anything to these factors. That plane or that helicopter didn't have whatever forces were at work. It wasn't anything about Kobe. It was out of his control. It had nothing to do with him. And we all walk through life in that way. And it's scary when you see it that explicitly, that matter-of-factly. That's one thought. I'm RJ Bell, straight out of Vegas. And I think the whole glass half full, glass half empty people talk about, there needs to be another part of that, which is, doesn't matter how much milk's in that glass, but if there's still a chance of more milk to come, that matters too. So anyone can say half full, half empty, but you better understand the fact that you still have a chance to keep going, to win, or if it's winning with romance, winning with your kids, having a good relationship with them, whatever winning is, Charlie Sheen style to you, if you're breathing, you got another chance. Think about the great movie Unforgiven, one of the great movies of all time, in my opinion. Eastwood. They were talking about death. He was talking about it. And he says, it takes away all someone has. And then he pauses and he says, and all he's ever gonna have. That's the line. You could bankrupt someone. You can strip them in town square. You can tar and feather them, whatever. But if he's breathing at the end, he's got a chance. But the time comes that you don't have a chance. There's no more chances. And that's scary. And the fact that that can come at any time is scary. And the fact that you can have no control of it sometimes is scary. And to me, that all came together with this tragedy. And I think even at a subconscious level, if we don't understand it, it's what we're feeling. If even Kobe can go down like that, then who am I? The ocean is so big, my boat is so small, as the saying goes. Now the question becomes, how do you respond to this? Because some people never leave the house. If Kobe Bryant put up his walls in his mansion, decided to have security checks on everyone that could get within a mile, odds are he would have lived to his 80s, right? And if you think about it, some of the great people we admire the most have died from accidents that, quite frankly, they would only have been in that situation because they were so ambitious, because they did want to transcend the limitations. Jonas, you drive in L.A., you got traffic to worry about.
Yeah.
Kobe, doesn't matter if he's going to catch an extra 20 minutes to drive his kid to school and that video was making. It doesn't matter. He was saying, I want to trump that. And we loved him for that. Regardless if you're a fan of Kobe, as a player, you like the fact that this guy said, you say no, I'm going to say yes and barrel through the no. And in a way, you look at JFK Jr., you look at a lot of people that's really ambitious, the kind of people that's jumping out of airplanes. Well, there's a reason people are sometimes scared of that, right? Yeah. It is ultimately dangerous. And everyone's got to make the choice. Would they rather live a 99% life to live to an old age and take no risk? Or how many risks do you want to take? And that's really a decision each of us has to make. But I do think you got to admit the fact if Kobe wasn't so bold, he probably isn't taking a helicopter to a teen girl's practice. And it doesn't mean he's wrong. It means it was a worldview. And I think that it's especially noteworthy that if he didn't have that worldview, we probably wouldn't know his name. If he's the kind of person that wouldn't take a helicopter because he knows it increases the risk of something happening, we wouldn't know Kobe Bryant's name. So let's do this. I've got things that are a little more existential coming up.
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Outta Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific.
Straight Outta Vegas here on Fox Sports Radio, live from South Beach in Miami. Coming up here in about 15 minutes from now on Fox Sports Radio, we will have Best Bets, your chance to make a little bit of coin on a Monday night during Super Bowl week. But we do want to let you know we are brought to you by AutoZone. AutoZone has the free services you need to help you get back on the road, like their free AutoZone Fix Finder service with over 5,600 locations nationwide. AutoZone is here to help you save time and money with their free services. Getting the job done just got easier. Restrictions apply. Get in the zone. AutoZone. I'm Jonas Knox, voice of you, the fan. He's the voice of Vegas, RJ Bell.
With Kobe, the thing that strikes me, too, is the daughter. And the way that my mind, just by reflex, did this like 7 or 8 times, where your mind drifts, you're reading something, you're doing talking to something, and then you drift back and you see it at the bottom of the screen and you re-remember it, and then you see the picture of the daughter and you think, like, not that Kobe going wasn't a tragedy, but there's something about the daughter going too. And obviously what that is the idea of what life has been lived, how much of it, and how much was there to come, right? And as sad as it is that someone 90 that you love or that you observe from afar dies, but someone 9... it's a whole different equation, and it just makes you understand without a doubt that the equation of a tragedy like this is heartless and vicious. There's no right or wrong to this. You know, if you believe, if you're a believer in a greater power, or if you don't believe, it's incomprehensible to the human mind. You can say the world is amoral. It doesn't care about anyone or anything. There's nothing above. Or you could say, I believe with all my heart there's a God above, but I don't understand his wisdom. The conclusion is the same. You can't understand it. Now, obviously, if you believe, that can be comforting. And it's a wonderful thing for those who do. But it's not because she did anything wrong. Right? When someone dies and there's a tragedy, even if it's not death, and they did something wrong, we can all say, well, he did drugs. He was driving drunk. Whatever. But she didn't do anything wrong. The kids in the leukemia hospitals aren't doing anything wrong. Is there a logic to it? Maybe. I don't understand it. And no human, I think, understands it. So that reality can be so daunting. And we really go through life sleepwalking a lot of the time for good reason. If you sat and contemplated the depths of the universe every day, how does that work? It doesn't. Sometimes the world around you forces you to think about it. And I think this is one of those times. And, you know, there's something universal about the underdog, because you might say Kobe, an underdog, every human's an underdog against the universe. And it's funny, because if Kobe had divorced his wife or done something a typical rich guy would do, probably 50% or more of the listeners would be thinking, oh, that mother effer, you know, typical Kobe. But we all root for him or anyone that's trying to beat the odds in this world. And he did it with so much vigor. You know, that's the thing. He took that world on. And if you were against him, you didn't like that, but you kind of respected it. And there's a terrible universal truth that even Kobe couldn't escape. And no matter what, you can't get beyond the reach of life's gravity. And you know where gravity sends you, into the ground. And the fact that it happened at such a young age for him, and even a younger age for his daughter, just drills home that each of us have that very same reality that we're dealing with every day. And it also makes you wonder, it's like the old, the day the music died, right? There's a couple people, seats on the plane, and they decide who's on, and that plane goes down. It's like, how scary is that? The idea that if you take a left, you live another 50 years, you take a right, and you get T-boned in the intersection. But every day, we never know, unless this is a simulation, and maybe we would one day, what we're all here right now. I know that much. If you're listening, what deaths have we avoided, each of us, because we took the left and not the right? And that's why, and this can help us, when something bad happens to you, you never know if it's really bad, because you never know what the alternative was. Imagine you take a left, you get T-boned and you're paralyzed. Sounds horrible. But if you had taken a right, you might have gotten killed. Or being paralyzed might lead you to start a company that lets you be a millionaire, and you your whole life were mad because you didn't have any money. Who knows, right? We all feel like we're victims of the past in some ways, not victims totally, but in some ways we're afflicted by it. But you know what? You never know what the past meant, because the future is yet to be fully told. And yeah, you might say, well, my father was rough on me and it made me like this, and then I had to get a divorce because of that, because of the way I was, because of him. Maybe, but who knows? If the next year you don't get married again, get a foster kid and change that kid's life, and that kid ends up being the president. You just don't know until it's but that's what makes the end so sad, because you now know with Kobe and his daughter, it's over. As long as you're still alive, you don't know. Even those things in the past that seem horrible, you don't know what the alternative was, and you also don't know what those horrible things are going to bring about in you in the future that might make it all a net better option. I was going to say net win. Feels like it's too serious for that, but ultimately, what is a win? It's better than the alternative. So, to me, that the idea that there's so much out of our control, combined with the fact that there's no right or wrong, it's almost, think about when something happens to you and you feel aggrieved. You want to go tell it to someone. You want someone to hear you and say, you're right, that was wrong. There is no one that we can talk to, because there is no entity that we are talking to that's dictating. It's cold uncertainty. And again, those with belief, even though they don't understand it, at least they have something to hold on to, and it's a wonderful thing. So when we come back, we're going to have a little bit of picks and stuff. Fez has a theory on how we can take advantage of this financially, and I appreciate that about him. I can't lie. But I want to touch on one last subject too, which is, and I mentioned it earlier, his trouble in Colorado, the way people were dancing around it. I truly believe, of all the things about Kobe that's worth putting up and admiring, this is what led to that in him, and I'll explain.
That's coming up next. He's RJ Bell. I'm Jonas Knox. This is the pregame show you've always wanted, live from South Beach here on Fox Sports Radio.
Straight out of Vegas!
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
I'm RJ Bell. We are straight out of Vegas coming to you from Radio Row in Miami.
And I'm Jonas Knox, voice of You, the Fan. Coming up in just a few minutes from now here on Fox Sports Radio, an opportunity to make a little bit of coin on a Monday night from Steve Fezzik.
Well, really, let's be candid, though. He's saying a way to exploit the tragedy.
Yeah, I guess that's what
I mean. I heard your voice. I heard your voice.
Catch. I was tiptoeing around that. I wasn't sure how to deliver that.
Just tell the truth, baby.
That's all right.
Speaking of tiptoeing, I thought one of the more interesting parts of the coverage was the way they were tiptoeing around Kobe and the Colorado. You know, it'd be like the stuff that happened in Colorado, and it's like, let's be clear. There was accusations of sexual assault. There was a civil settlement, and certainly it seems there was an infidelity, and he was married at the time. That's the truth. And you might say, let's not speak ill of the dead. No, this is what makes the man he turned into, it seems. And I only say it seems because you can only know so much from a distance. But if we canonized him like a saint, it'd be a lie. If we say he's not a saint, it's the truth, but it's not profound. We're all limited. None of us are perfect. So if you just wave it away and say, well, none of us are perfect, what's that mean? It doesn't mean much. But it's the fact he was probably a below-average person at that time, a guy doing what he seemed to have done. You can't say that's like great as a character. And the man he was before he passed away, Kobe, seemed like he was way above average. Right? And it connects with his family. Is when you're so focused on your career, on your craft, the family suffers. You can't be working 70 hours, 80 hours a week, and the family don't suffer. The fact that he found a way to put his passions post-career, and I'm not saying it didn't get better before the end of his career. Maybe it got better. I don't know. But it seems like certainly since he put that same passion into his family. And I tell you this, for every 100 bad dads there are, because they're so into their work, it's far less than 10 ever change. It's the same way at the end. And Kobe, at a young age, still not even into his 40s all that much, he had changed in a way. He was, a wonderful father. And to me, that's what it's a great story. He went from what happened in Colorado to being seemingly a great father, and to me we should celebrate that, because the fact he was imperfect, we all are. The fact he got so much better with his imperfections is a great, great, great thing. And I also think, finally, it's amazing that here's a man that was one of the best in the world. We saw what one in a million talent at basketball and one in a million work ethic combined could make one of the five best players of all time. But then after he retired, we saw with that same work ethic, with decent talent. He wasn't a one in a million Hollywood guy or whatever, but he won an Oscar. He wasn't a one in a million talent as a businessman, but he, by all accounts, was a good businessman. So it just goes to show you don't need one in a million talent. You just need that work ethic. And the fact that Kobe showed us that not only in basketball, but I think more insightfully in fields outside of basketball, is something I will miss, even though wasn't playing anymore, seeing how his career evolved, Jonas.
Yeah, no, I agree. And how he embraced his post-basketball career and moved so smoothly and transitioned into it and had success. He put all that same energy he had towards his basketball career into his post-career, and it was amazing.
It really was, because it wasn't obvious. All right, Fez, the sickos want to know. Tell us.
All right, so Toronto, San Antonio, yesterday, both teams ran 24 seconds off the clock, took a shot clock violation. Every other team after did the same thing. So obviously, with one less possession for each team in the first quarter unders is what I did bet yesterday, and I did bet them on the games tonight.
So literally, you saw the tragedy on TV, and your response was to call your bookie.
Yes.
I mean, listen, if anyone wants to wonder about how hardcore Straight Out of Vegas is, I mean, can you doubt? I mean,
unbelievable.
I mean, I got to be honest with you. I respect it. I didn't do it, but I respect it.
That's Steve Fezzik. We are brought to you by My Computer Career. Make 2020 your year. You could start your new life as an IT pro in as little as 4 months. Go to mycomputercareer.edu and take the free career evaluation today. Straight out of Vegas, back tomorrow, live from Radio Row at 6 Eastern Time here on FSR.
Straight out of Vegas!